Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to those of you who are here in the room this morning. Welcome to those who will watch or listen at a different time. We gather together as the people of God in the worship of God. From Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are your people. We pray. As we come to you today, Lord God, help us to lay aside the many things that are on our minds and in our hearts, trusting that you know what we need before we ask and that you are with us in all things. Help us to turn now towards you, to be attentive to your presence, to listen to your word and to one another, and to lift our hearts in love and worship of you, as we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. We sing those words from Isaiah 64 in our first song. I invite you to stand as we sing. We pray, and this is a prayer that's adapted from an older prayer from the Methodist Covenant service from many years ago. We pray. We worship and adore you, O God of love, who created us, who every moment preserves and sustains us, who has loved us with an everlasting love, and given us the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. We glory in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, who went about doing good and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, who became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, who is dead and is alive forevermore, who opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers, who now lives and reigns in the glory of you, the Father. You are the King of glory, O Christ. We rejoice in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, by whom we are born into the family of God, and made members of the body of Christ, whose witness confirms us, whose wisdom teaches us, whose power enables us, who waits to do for us exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. We praise you, O Holy Spirit. In some moments of quietness, let us bring to God those things that we have done and said that we regret from this last week, this last day, even this morning. Things that have hurt others and ourselves. Let us also bring those things we wish we had done and had said that we failed to do, and ask God to help us to turn and to follow God. We do so in these moments of quietness. We thank you, Lord God, that your word says that if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's in the confidence of what Christ has done for us that we know that our sins are forgiven, and we are able to say to you, thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. We continue in song, All Things Bright and Beautiful, and this is the version that's in Together in Song, which has a bit of an Australian flavour to it. There's parts of it that are from the original version of this, but there is some Australian connections here. So we stand to sing.
Oh, Well, all things bright and beautiful certainly fits for the theme of Inspired Gallery at Artburst, from mountains to the sea. So we had mountains, gardens, gum trees, gorges, desert, sea. All those things bright and beautiful will be down in Inspired Gallery. It was perfect, wasn't it, Marion? Starting off with Artburst, we have 16 confirmed market stalls, which is a good number for us. It works really well. So the last one came in at 7:30 this morning. So that's everyone. So that's good. We have 8 artists. We have 8 artists who are showing work in the gallery walk. We will have a full gallery walk. But Wana being Wana was at one table, and this artist, Dr. Susan Turner, was taking her work down. So Wana approached her, and she's given Wana 2 paintings to put into the gallery walk. And I chose to put this one up because it fitted with Inspired as well. So thank you to... Oh, okay. Good, good. We might end up having an artist walk through the back of the church as well. thank you to everyone who has been approaching their hairdressers. We have three donations from hairdressers already, so it tells us where we spend our money, ladies. I'm also waiting on quite a few other donations. Rosemary is escaping for the week before Artburst. She'll arrive back on at about 5, so we'll be here at 6 p.m. on Friday night. Thank you for your commitment, Rosemary. But we're also still after some volunteers. So please see Rosemary after the service if you wish to help out in any way. Friday night's a lovely night if you've not been. And bring children who used to come to church. Tell them they've got to come back on Friday night. also, on the table, it's not for me. Joycelyn has become a great-grandparent, a great-grandmother again, with a great-grandson being born in Rockhampton. Lovely place to live, Rockhampton. So that's wonderful. I hope to have a flower there next week. And you do too. We'll fight for the table. Yeah. Belsonnens came in yesterday. They're doing the concert after Artburst. They've come in. That's all well organised. They have continued their discount of 15% to any members of the congregation. It's on Eventbrite, or if you want to just grab as you go out, that will take you to the Eventbrite site. Yes, it's called Kenmore 15. very easy to remember. 15%. Pardon? Yeah. The link is through on the website as well if you wish to use it. I think that's all. You have your prayer points here. Please pray for Artburst. It has suddenly arrived. If you weren't here last week, for the congregational meeting. We distributed a pledge sheet to come back on the 13th of September. So Rob's holding it up. If you could collect one of those as you leave, that would be great. I hope I've covered everything. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. So for that auction on Friday night, as I look around the congregation, it looks like I'll be bidding against some of these fellas for those hairdressing auctions. Yes, all it takes is two people to go for the same thing and whew, through the roof. I see you, fellas. That's okay.
David, I've got some stadium moss at home.
That's excellent, Blair. I might take you up on that. thanks so much, Wendy, and we'll include a prayer for Artburst later in the service. And as we sang All Things Bright and Beautiful, I was thinking of Rosemary taking off out west, and she'll see a little some parts of western Queensland there that will be, I guess, connecting with that hymn as well. Anyone want to make a comment about Music Lovers on Thursday that we shared in? Anyone that want to make a comment about the Serenata singers that came? Thanks, Liz. I'll just get a mic to you.
It was a very, very joyful morning. You know, everybody was... The people who were singing were joyful. They were happy. You knew that they were enjoying singing, and this conveyed it to the audience. And we were, at interval, everyone was chatting away so happily because they felt in that mood. And they had a lot of variation with solos and jokes. So it was a very well-balanced concert. So most enjoyable. And the people that I talk even said several days afterwards, even yesterday, they said, wasn't Thursday morning a happy morning?
That's great. Thank you, Liz. Thank you. Him, George Matheson, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. And here we go, Lester. And they did this amazing... anyway, I'll just say a bit more about that. There you go, Lester.
I thought I appreciated the leaflets handed out during the concert, both the first session and the second session, so we could all sing our hearts out with them.
Yes, that's right. There was a bit of community singing as well for us to share, which was great. Look around. Yeah, so they did an arrangement of O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, which was absolutely stunning. Very good. A couple of things to mention before we have a prayer. I visited Caroline Graham during the week and had a chat to Liz on Thursday. But it was a really great visit, actually, with Caroline. I know some had a visit with her a few weeks ago where it wasn't a good day for her. It was a good day when I saw her on Tuesday. And she was talkative, still... recovering a bit from a fall that she had, but she is mobile now, and we had a good conversation and finished with some prayer for her. So greetings from Carolyn. And so some days I think are good and some days not so good. That's good. We're going to have a prayer and we will then have a conversation with Juana today. Okay, we pray. Lord our God, we thank you for our life together here at Kenmore. We thank you for the news, Lord, of great-grandchildren and of more to come in that regard. And we thank you for Joycelyn's family and pray for your blessing upon them this day. We pray also, Lord, for Rosemary as she heads off west for this week, and that may just be a great week for her. And we do look forward to her return at the end of the week. But in the meantime, that all may go well for her and the time that she spends with people, both heading out there and out there, that may just be a wonderful time. And please, may she be very conscious of your presence with her. Lord, we thank you for what was shared in it, Music Lovers, and again, that the creativity and the blessing that music is to us. We are thankful in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Not good. Okay. So Wendy's asked for prayers for Vicky and Ian. Ian was diagnosed with a very aggressive brain tumour and had an operation yesterday. And the prognosis was not particularly good before that. So we'll have a prayer. Lord God, just in these few moments, we pause to pray for Vicky and Ian. And as we do that, we're thankful for friendships, Lord, that we get to share in, and for the care and support that happens within those friendships, including in difficult times such as these. Lord, we commend Ian especially to you following his operation yesterday, and of the uncertainty that that sits with them at this time. I pray, Lord, for the medical team that are attending to him, that you'll give them wisdom and insight, particularly as they study pathology results and as they look to continue to care for Ian. May there be a sense of your peace, your comfort, your healing touch upon his life, Vicky's life, and those who gather around them at this time. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Wana, would you like to come forward, please? And
ask me to bring a painting,
so. Yes, good. And if you take this mic here, if you take that mic, I'll try and remember these questions that I...
I got a couple of notes.
As I said, during August, just as we look a little, head towards Artburst, just taking the opportunity to reflect a bit upon that with a few people. And first of all, Wana, as an artist, why do you choose the subject matter? What draws you to choose the subject matter that you do?
Well, I guess for example, this particular painting. Yeah. I was actually walking in the Toowoomba Japanese Gardens, and I saw this family walking. And it was just an ordinary moment, but you had the light coming through, you had the greenery, the dappled sort of greenery, and just all the contrast, just for me, it captured sort of life for me. There was light, there's movement, there's fragility, and so that inspired me to paint this painting. Okay. Movement. I like movement.
Okay. Now, just next question, then I'll just encourage you just to hold that mic up a little bit there, Wanda. Thank you very much.
Did you hear that?
This morning I'm going to touch on the story of Vincent van Gogh, mm-hmm. and a brilliant yet troubled soul, mm-hmm. in many ways, who portrayed so much of his own story as he painted and of what he wanted to portray. What do you see as some of the connections between life and living life and faith and art?
Well, I guess, like I said, what art has done for me personally, maybe I talk about my own personal journey. My personality, I'm actually quite a speedy personality. Just in case you didn't notice. And art actually helps me to stop and appreciate those ordinary moments in life and look for them. Look for the ordinary moments in life. Look for beauty in the ordinary. And I think faith does that for me too. It encourages me to stop and to look for the gold look for the light, look for the peace, even in dark, in the darkest moments. So I actually took up art quite by accident around COVID. And that was 2 years after my husband died. And I think for 2 years I was walking around, you know, pretty in shock, actually, because I wasn't prepared for that. And it, art gave me that solace, gave me that peace, and faith gives me the same. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yes, yes, it does, yeah, yes. And I think, and actually, I think that's something of what we discover when we look at Vincent's work as well, of the beauty in the ordinary things of life. And I think as well, in some ways, I think for him that it was it drew upon his experiences of life and the turmoil that he often lived in, and that somehow it's expressed through his art as well. Any other thoughts that you've got you'd like to say this morning, Juana?
Well, I think the two, you don't have the two paintings you chose.
Yes, yes.
So the two paintings were interesting, sort of a juxtaposition, right? It says a lot, right, doesn't it? It says, I don't know, pain, fragility. There's a lot that says, it says there. And then you have the other one, the sunflowers.
Yes.
Is that right? No, that one. Yeah. So to me, they both have movement, and yet there's a juxtaposition. There's beauty, there's fragility, there's light, there's all the things that I look for. Excellent. That inspires me.
Mm. Excellent. Thank you, Juana.
Thank you.
Let's say a prayer.
Take it away.
Are you happy for it just to sit there?
Yeah, sure.
We talk? Okay. Let's say a prayer. Lord God, we thank you again for the extraordinary creativity that you share with us, and particularly in these weeks of around the visual arts, we thank you for the way that people are able to express so much about our life, and particularly for those within the life of our congregation that are able to, in their painting, to be able to express your faithfulness, your creativity, and your goodness to us. We pray for each of them as they continue their work and their joy of creating these extraordinary pieces that we're able to enjoy. In the name of Jesus, amen. We hear from the scriptures and from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where you might hear echoes of some of our conversation that we've just had. Thank you, Dawn.
Second Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 12. Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed, sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. May God help us to understand this message from his word. Amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now I understand what you tried to say to me and how you suffered for your sanity, how you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. For they could not love, for love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. So sang Don McLean in 1971 in his tribute to the brilliant yet troubled Vincent van Gogh. Treasures in jars of clay, the Apostle Paul wrote. The verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Dawn read, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here, and he's talking about all that Christ has done for us, but it's as if he says to them, don't get ahead of yourself here though. Remember your place in the world. We are jars of clay, ordinary, everyday, unadorned pots of clay. And as Eugene Peterson says, or as he puts verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. Treasure in jars of clay, so that there's a reminder that it's God and not us. Jars of clay, particularly in the day of Jesus, they were very ordinary things, everyday pots, but they were very fragile. It didn't take much for them to break. And we have accounts in the Gospels, including the time when someone brought a clay jar, an alabaster jar full of perfume. And to get that out, you needed to smash the top off and then to get that out. They're ordinary, everyday pots, and yet they're very fragile. And Paul says in these verses that God's treasure is within us. But we're still subject to the changes of human life, the weaknesses and the pains that witness to our fragility. Paul goes on to describe the paradox that exists within this, that the paradox of our own weakness and fragility being mixed and intermingled with God's glory in us. He says that we're pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, that is, that there's times when we struggle to understand, but we're not despairing. He says there are times when we're given a really tough time because we're associated with Jesus. He talks about persecution there, but we're not abandoned by God in the midst of that. We're knocked down, but as the song says, we get up again. We're knocked down, but we rise again. And this is where he's pointing to the life of Jesus in us. The life of Jesus in us. We're knocked down, but we rise again. And Paul says that this treasure, this life of Jesus, is revealed in us in the midst of our fragility. We have treasure in jars of clay. Treasure in jars of clay. Russ Ramsey, who is an author, he's also a pastor in the States, and he's written including two in regards to the connection between art and faith. He's been a fan of Vincent van Gogh for over 30 years, and he tells one time back in the 1990s of not far from where he lived, there was a Van Gogh exhibition that came through and was displayed. There were a few other works as well by people who were inspired by Vincent. And as you went through and looked at the exhibition, you exited through the gift shop, which happens most places around. And he says that there are posters and postcards, particularly related to some of the art that was being exhibited. But it also included some items in the gift shop that made light of the episode of Van Gogh's cutting off his ear. He said there was a thermal coffee mug that had Van Gogh's portrait on the side with his bandaged ear that had an explanatory note that went with it, that when it said, the note said, when you pour in a hot beverage, you can watch the famous post-impressionist ear disappear. Easy Van come, easy Van go, it said. It said it broke his heart to see it, and that he's still angry 30 years later. Because it's very witty. It's very quite witty. It's quite funny. Until it isn't, you know. Until you step back and you hear the story of Vincent and the story of his depression, his turmoil, of his hopes, and the ridicule that came his way from the people around him. It's funny until we think of the people that we know, maybe even us, that have had similar struggles. Russ Ramsey goes on to say that, and I quote, "For most of us, our greatest shame and our deepest hurts are closely guarded secrets known only to a few, if anyone, and we protect these parts of ourselves, not because they're shameful, but because they're sacred." In reference to this terrible incident where Vincent cuts off his ear, Russ Ramsey said, "It shows us that in the end, we are not our worst moments, that in the end, we are not our biggest failures, and it teaches us the sacred work of stewarding another's pain. That we are not our biggest failures." And when I think about that, that's part of what we looked at back in June when we looked at the encounters with Jesus that many people had. And as I mentioned these, we go, well, we know these people by their pain, by their need to be whole. Zacchaeus, who we met, and he has this encounter of grace with Jesus. The thief on the cross, the man with leprosy, the woman that's brought before Jesus caught in adultery, the woman who has this chronic illness for 12 years, who reaches out and touches. We know them because of their pain and their need, and their need to be whole. But ultimately, they're not known by their failures. We know them because somewhere in this story, I encouraged us to recognise our story. That somewhere in their story is Vincent's story, is our story. Pain, sorrow, affliction, failure, turmoil. Within a short time of this ear incident, where Vincent severs part of his ear, Vincent has a severe breakdown and he's taken to an asylum, what in those days, and probably not that long ago, was referred to as a lunatic asylum. There was actually a petition from some of the people in his community that that happened, and he was taken. He continues to paint while he's there, and he was prolific in that 10-year period, and particularly the last two to three years of his life. He painted prolifically, and it's extraordinary that we have access to a lot of his work. This sermon's not about mental health per se, but given Vincent's history with depression, his erratic behaviour in the last few years of his life, his breakdowns, and his spending time in this asylum, and that tragically he ends his life at the age of 37, I do want to make a brief comment. I'd be confident in saying that everyone in the room this morning knows someone who has or is struggling with their mental well-being. I'd be confident in saying every one of us knows someone. Might even be us. It's a tough space to be in, as well as to care for someone in that space. And as I've said previously, a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean that life will be a bed of roses. It's not as if we come to Jesus and all is well and that we're fantastic. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. But other times not. How we wish that it did. How we wish it was plain sailing when we have faith in Jesus, but that's not how it is. And that includes our mental health. Bible passages such as the one that we read this morning in 2 Corinthians 4 and in the verses that follow bring some perspective and some hope to us as followers of Jesus. And we do well to sit with these verses and reflect upon that. When Paul says that we are perplexed but not crushed, and all these references. For there is peace that comes, there is wholeness, there is progress that can come, but for many the struggle remains and help's needed along the way, professionally, and also from the community of people around us. This is a Lynn Roulin, who was the local postman. He was a dear friend of Vincent. In fact, after the when Vincent cuts off his ear and the days that follow, Joseph is one of the key people there. Many of us will know that Theo, Vincent's brother, and he were very close, very close. Theo lived in another part, another city. Theo comes for a day or two to visit Vincent, but then he heads back home. He's just got engaged. Theo has just got engaged, and he heads back to his fiancée and continues to have communication with Vincent. But Joseph Roulin keeps Theo updated on how Vincent's going, continues to visit him in hospital initially and then other times. And this is a painting that Vincent did in 1888 of him. Theo couldn't be there all the time. And sometimes that's how it goes for us as well, as we look to balance the various responsibilities that we have. And as Russ Ramsey says, in regards to all of this, it's a hard world and we need to be gentle. We need to be gentle. Just an aside, I think I made reference to this last year. I was talking about something I can't remember now, but it's actually extraordinary that Vincent painted this self-portrait. Why would he choose to paint this, which shows one of a moment of deep weakness and flaws for him? But he did it. And we can learn a bit from that as well. As I said earlier on, that quote from Russ Ramsey, that we're not ultimately the failures that we think people see in us, that we are much, much more than that. About a month ago, when I did a service out at Iona, I think Rosemary gave me this packet of sunflower seeds. And it's to do with, it's Giving Day, a day to remember. A garden is a special place for someone living with dementia. Plant these sunflower seeds in yours today and watch them bloom brightly this summer. So now it's warming up a little bit, so these will get planted in probably the next week or two. I'll put them in. One of the great things about living in central Queensland 20 years ago was that there was a certain time of year when you could drive down the highway and you would drive for kilometres and you would see this. Well, not that, but you'd see hectares and hectares of sunflowers. And it was an extraordinary sight. You would just drive, and it's not only central Queensland, but other parts, and many of you would have driven past this, of where, when they're in full bloom, it's an extraordinary sight to see sunflowers. And part of the thing about sunflowers is that they follow the sun. That when the head of the sunflower follows the sun. And how extraordinary, really. I haven't opened this up here, but what's actually in here, Rosemary? There we go. Now, can you see those? They're pretty a bit hard to see, but gee whiz, when they're in flower, you can see them. There is a treasure that's hidden in one of these. The treasure that you'll see. But for that to happen, these need to be planted in the ground. Or as Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. The treasure that's hidden in this little seed becomes that. Paul says we have treasure that's hidden in jar clays, and what a treasure it is, this life of Christ that's revealed in us. Sunflowers follow the sun. They follow the sun. I want to finish with some verses from Hebrews chapter 12, from Hebrews chapter 12, and they're there somewhere. It's where Paul writes, and he says, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who endured the cross for the joy that lay ahead for him. As the sunflowers follow the sun, let us follow the sun. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." I invite us to sing, and as we do, our offering will be received and we'll stand in the last verse. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I invite us to remain seated and then to stand in the last verse. Us in quietness and in storm, calling us to trust you and not be afraid. In that trust, we bring these gifts before you, offerings of faith in your goodness and care. Amen. Shortly, I'll lead us in our prayers for others. But if any of you Doctor Who fans, I'm not sure, but I've sort of been encouraging people to watch some videos lately. But if you want to watch season 5, I think it's episode 10 of when the Matt Smith was Doctor Who, they visit Vincent van Gogh. It's an extraordinary episode. Even if you're not into Doctor Who, it's on Disney. If you do that, Disney. If you subscribe to Disney or not, but just the way that they do this story, it's just extraordinary. Just how they portray this encounter with Vincent and how it finishes as well. We come to God with our prayers for others, we pray. Eternal God, our only hope, our help in time of trouble, we bring our prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, who identifies with and embraces all human suffering. We pray for peace in the world, O Lord, that weapons will be disarmed, guns silenced, and the flames of hate and spite be put out. Our prayers continue for Ukraine and Russia and Gaza and Israel, Syria and Iran. We pray, O Lord, for those who suffer pain and for those whose loneliness is soul-destroying, for those whose minds are disturbed and for those who live lives of quiet despair. We pray for them, O Lord, bring comfort and peace. We pray for those who have not had the opportunities to realize their potential, for those who are dissatisfied with something less than the life for which they were made, for those who know guilt, shallowness and need, but who do not know Jesus, and for those who do. O Lord, for those who are in hospital or some other place of care, we pray. We pray for those who are dying and those who have recently faced death in all of its stark reality, for their family and friends, again, that there may be your comfort and your peace. We continue, O Lord, to commit Artburst to you, for the plans that come together this week and indeed Friday night and Saturday, for all of the practical things that need to come together, and pray for your blessing upon all of these things who will come, that there may be a sense of the warmth of fellowship amongst your people, that indeed there may be inspiration within themselves, yes, but be able, an inspiration that turns towards the Son, that turns towards you. Our prayers continue, O Lord, for Wendy in her coordinating role, that you'll grant to her your peace this week especially, and a calmness of spirit, and indeed for the many others that will be sharing in some organisational part of this event. For those who are volunteering, we thank you. Help us to work together well as a community. Oh Lord, at times we easily identify with the fear of the disciples when they were caught in the storm. Like them, our faith falters and our anxiety levels soar when life becomes too turbulent for us. Time and again, Lord, the stresses of living and working and learning threaten to swamp us. Our lives sometimes feel as though they are spinning out of control with worries over health, relationships, finances, the state of the world. Please, O Lord, draw us back to you in those moments as we turn to you. For you create us by your power and you redeem us by your love and grace. Please guide and strengthen us by your Spirit that we may give ourselves in love and service to one another and to you as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, for which I invite you to stand, is Now the Green Blade Rises.
Oh,
if any of that this morning has caused you to think a little deeper about things and need to have a conversation with someone, please do that. And certainly myself as well, available to meet with you and share some time together. Lord God, take all we are and all we have and make us faithful in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. That's right.
I forgot one very important thing before, and that is to book for Friday night. If you wish to save money, you can book via TryBooking for $19, or you can go to the back of the church now, and for $20, you can buy your tickets. The difference is we didn't want people paying the service fee, which is why TryBooking was a dollar cheaper. We absorbed the service fee. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jenny.